Blog Talk Radio.
Today is a day of smiles. Cause today I got a new lease on life. Today I became wise. Cause I realized I was wasting time. Spent many years living on the surface. Never took the time to go deeper in your service. I know the problem wasn't you, it was me. Every day living my life.
Praise God. Good evening and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. My name is Apostle Emmett Overton, pastor and founder of Fellowship of Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries, been converted to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Been on air for 14 years, and we've been with our Blog Talk segment for 6.5 years. We're also now on YouTube, and we are based in Atlanta, Georgia, and Kingston, Jamaica. I'd like to thank the ministerial staff here that works with us, Apostle Candace Durden, assistant pastor, operational manager, and also demonologist, myself, Brother Emmett Overton, Sister Ruthie Rami, our assistant coordinator in Israel, and Brother Michael Smith, and Pastor Steve Lee and Sister Sheila Newsom are on our staff. Pastor Steve Lee can be heard every Monday at Blog Talk Radio. Pastor John Durden is not on staff. He's a personal friend. He's in training for deliverance. He is not a deliverance minister. He's in training. He is in training. He is not on staff. Without further ado, there will be no questions and answers due to length of the time. This is done by Dr. Kamara Walker. I want to thank you for allowing us to come to your convention at the Baptist Seminary Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. Also want to thank Dr. John D. Robinson to allow me to connect with him at his conference, and Dr. Seymour Montgomery, who's the regional field director of the services for the chaplaincies in the region of Cleveland, Ohio. Without further ado, Dr. McNicholson says, before you begin, Chaplain Durden, they need education, and then you can proceed your sermon. They need education.
Okay, tell me when.
Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. Again, this is Chaplain John Durden, retired. With respect to my education, I have 3 master's degrees. The first one I got was in human resources. I had recruited people for federal employment for 30 years out at the military base, Fort McPherson, Army there. That's what I did for 30 years, hiring people, jobs ranging from $20,000 to $100,000 a year. Did that for 30 years. But when I got into my latter part of my 40s, God called me into the ministry. And so I had to go back to school. So I went to evening class because I wasn't about to give up my government job. So I went to my evening class at the school. And after 2 years of seminary, I got my master's degree in Christian counseling. Then when I completed my 3rd year, I got my master's in theology. So I have, and then I have a degree in hospital chaplaincy. So I got a master's in government administration, that's human resources, and a master's in Christian counseling, a master's in theology. And then I got a certificate, 1-year certificate with respect to the hospital chaplaincy, had to do an internship for a year. And that's my background. Now, with respect to today's session, glad to have you guys aboard. God bless you. And if someone had told me out, I've been teaching and talking and sharing on the ministry of deliverance, how would tell me we're crazy? Because I've been knowing Brother Emmett for about 14 years now, maybe a little bit longer. And God opened the ministry of deliverance to him, and by me being good friends, he started sharing with me. And at first, I thought he had lost his mind, but come to find out, deliverance ministry is really, really real. When you look at the Bible, you see what Jesus is doing, you look at the scriptures, then you find out that that's what he wanted us to do. But what I want to do, I'm going to, you know, the last time I spoke was on deliverance ministry, and I just want to summarize a little bit of what I said the last time I talked for those who are new or coming on board with. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to break this session, well, this hour session, to 3 parts. The first part is going to be about Satan, his goal, his power, his kingdom. And then after we do that, I'm going to go right into evil spirits. I'm going to talk about their attributes, their functions, and how they deceive us. And then I'm going to talk about the big biggie. That's the battle mind. That's to say that every time you think something, you think it's your thought, not necessarily. It took me hard to understand that because every time I thought of something, I don't care if it was bad, good, even or different, I thought it was me. I had no idea that those demons can infiltrate your mind and have you thinking that they were them, think it was you. And so I'm going to talk about Satan, his goals, his power, his kingdom. We'll talk about evil spirits, all the different types, their attributes and how they function. And then I'm going to go to the best part, that's the battle for you, which is the mind, our thoughts and our teaching that we get. Now, hopefully you will realize that Jesus drove out demons, and guess what? And so can we do also. And that was hard. But I guess for the first couple of years when I met him, he was trying to introduce me to the men. I go, yeah, right. Okay, man, I got to go. Check your lead. And I go, this dude, I lost his mind. Because, you know, I was raised like you guys. I went to school and everything else, but they never taught anything about deliverance ministry or anything like that. I thought either all the demons in hell or there was no demons alive, period. And so I want to share my experience and these kind of things. But I want to go into prayer first. So, Ken, let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And I pray that the Holy Spirit empowers me to teach your word with clarity and simplicity and boldness. And Father God, may our minds be alert and clear and that our hearts become receptive. And also, Father, I pray that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, will move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thoughts be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And also, Father, I pray that your words bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to all here in your presence today. In the name of your divine Son, Christ Jesus of Nazareth, I pray. And there's another prayer I usually do when I really go into teaching deliverance ministry, just when I'm going to escort my buddy when he get ready to do some deliverance. And I would like to share that prayer with you because God is all powerful. And here it is. I call it my spiritual warfare prayer. I say, Father, I am thankful for your mighty armor you have provided for me so that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I therefore put on the helmet of salvation to protect and guard my mind and thoughts. And then put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect my heart that I may maintain a right relationship with both you and man. I want to put on the girdle of truth that I may avoid every form of dishonesty or compromise, Lord. And the shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace that I may be ready to present and defend the gospel to the unbeliever, and the shield of faith to cover my total personality, spirit, soul, and body, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the weapon of all prayer, which must be prayed in the Spirit. And I confess no weapon formed against me will succeed, nor prosper. And also I have been given authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. And in the name of your Son, Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Let me share a few scriptures with you right quick. It's about like five scriptures, and then I'm going to get into the teaching. But the scripture is relevant to the teaching. The scripture is relevant to the teaching. The first one comes from Mark 16, verses 15 and 18 says, "And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. And they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." In the next scripture I'd like to share, which it comes from Romans chapter 1, verse 24. In verse 24 says, and I read, it says, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies and among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature," as those demons, "rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, so also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burning their lust for one another," that's demonic influence. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased, reprobate mind. So they do the things which are not fitting. The other one I want to share, which is Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2 says this: for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And I got two more to go, and that's Revelation. Revelation 12, verses 1 and 2, and it says this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians 6:12 says this: finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. One more. And it says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It just says this: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We supposed to move, think, we suppose whatever we do is supposed to be by the leading of the spiritual mind, the mind of Christ, not by a fleshly mind. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now, what I'd like to do first, I got indicated, some of you know, I just turned 79 years old, and I'll be 80 in November. I can really plan that. And here I am talking about demons. Would you believe this? But you know what? I'm open whatever God wants me to do. You know, when I retired from the chaplaincy position after 25 years, I was like 70 years old when I retired from that. And God called me into the ministry because with my buddy, John, I want you to go with me. God wants you to know about deliverance ministry. And I go, yeah, right, okay. So I went to went with him. And then one time we were sitting in his dining room, in study, he was listening to some Derrick Prince tapes. And so I'm sitting there going, okay, man, no problem. And he started playing the tapes on me. He was talking about demonology. And guess what happened? The laptop, no, the video on the screen started moving, sliding. I said, I don't believe my head. Hey, Emmett, look. He said, oh, my gosh. He jumped up and recorded just before it was pushed off. Without me realizing, that was a demon trying to push the video screen off thing so it didn't break up. Then the next time, look around, went there the next time, and what happened? The lights started flinking on and off, and the refrigerator doors open and shut and stuff. I said, this stuff got to be real. I'm thinking this guy crazy. This stuff is really real. So he said, John, I want you to go with me a couple of times. I said, okay. We would go to homes. This is about 12 years ago. See, that's how long it took me, because I just refused to accept this stuff about demons. So I said, okay, just to make my buddy feel good. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, the woman rise up in the sky, up in the ceiling, tell me, don't y'all like this, and pull her panties over and start urinating, you know, on trying to urinate on us. There were times when we'd go into one, we'd go to another person's house, and the head priest there telling me, what are you niggas doing here? I didn't ask. He said, hey, man, your wife called us. I don't know how she got her number, but she called. Obviously, your daughter needs some help. I don't need no help. I can go in there. You know, I got 2 degrees. I got doctor degrees, and I'm the head. I got 14,000 in my church. I'll do it. And Brother Lim said, well, go ahead. Don't say I didn't warn you. And that guy went in there, and his daughter, I know the son was sitting on the foot of the bed, telling me, hey, Pop, what you want, Pop? You know what I'm saying? And it started fouling, and the room started stinking, and everything else, man. He ran out of there. And there are one cases where you had a couple of fathers who get insulted. What kind of education you got, Emmett? I got a high school diploma. Oh, heck, man, you ain't nobody. I'm a doctor out of a doctor's degree. I'll get this child, this demon out of my daughter, my child. Sometimes his daughter, sometimes. He said, I wish you wouldn't do that, sir. You'd be in trouble because you don't have deliverance experience. And I got to tell you, you got to be right in this ministry. You can't tell a lie. You can't go around cheating, screw this little gal, screw this man, or whatever. You can't do none of that because you've got a familiar spirit. Tell that demon everything you're doing. Oh, that's bull. Come out of that, my son, in the name of Jesus. And the demon say, one more time you speak to me, I'm going to tear your butt apart. And to make a long story short, we case it where the demon manifests and throw the preacher out the window on the second floor. One time you throw a man out the door. The room starts freezing over and everything else. And that's one ministry. You can be a chaplain, you can be a minister, a preacher, whatever, but in no way in the world you can be a deliverance ministry and got some little hidden sin because that demon is called familiar spirit. They know everything about what you're doing. But I just wanted to share something. And then I started going, oh, my God. But he wouldn't let me try to talk to him because, heck, man, I didn't know nothing about deliverance. But I watch and observe. But what he had me to do at first was when he started talking to that young lady or that man who's possessed with a demon, talking back in that, you know, that kind of stuff. He said, John, I need your backing. Pray in tongues. God told me to bring you because he's training you. He wants you to come and just pray in the spirit. And I go, phew. He said, oh, I forgot. You do speak in tongues. I said, yeah, man, I finally got it, you know. So he says, all right. So I get in the corner, and this demon is growling. And the girl walking upside down on the ceiling and everything. I say, oh, my God, ain't nobody going to believe this. So I'm going, hey, shikiri anaka para sakariate. Heli ala la bala so kori aneke shikika. Lora budika to so kori aneke kata umo. Keli aneke so kori aneke. And that demon say, shut up. And I go, hey, shikiri aneka tabara so kori aneke. And then brother Emmett minister that person. But I just wanted to share that little bit with you. So I never thought I'd be into this ministry. So I've been going out a lot with him. Then there were cases where he used to call me and I told him, hey, I got something else to do. I'd be lying like a champ. But, you know, that thing had frightened me and it was nervous and everything else. And finally, God got next to me and said, boy, I call you to the ministry. Do what I call you to do. So and then I want to talk about not only Satan and his demons, but I also want to talk about how he get us to sin, how we get into all this crap. Oh, wait a minute. Holy Spirit brings something to my mind. There was a time when I was sitting at his house, and he was trying to cast his demon out. I'm sitting on the sofa with two guys on each side of me. We just sitting there watching, observing. And he told me, you're going to come out tonight, you demon. He told, you know, and all of a sudden, the guy next to me, he told me, hey, Brother John. I go, what's wrong with you, man? We need to get out of here, Brother John. I go, what you mean we got to get out? I mean, why are you calling me brother? And then I realized, him and look over there and say, watch it, John. That's the demon possessed fellow. I'm supposed to do him next. I said, oh, okay. Thank you for telling me. And all of a sudden, he said, we need to get out of here. He want to cast me out of this young man. You have a car. I don't have a car. I'm in this man. I ain't got no car. And why don't you just go walk out here now? Let's go get in your car, okay? And I say, what? Come on, Brother John. I look at that boy and say, hey, don't be calling me no Brother John. Hey, your brother demon. You better get away from me. Come on, Brother John. Don't be like that. I said, don't call me no Brother John. They almost made me poop in my britches, man. I said, wow. I said, no, I ain't going nowhere. And he tried to get me, tried to drag me out of the house. And Emmett came and interceded. And I said, sit down, you demon. Okay, I know who you are. You're the errand boy. You know, this kind of thing. My God. So I want to go on before I'm going to get to it. Another thing I want to share is that Brother Emmett, I really want to learn that. God want to give it to me. I went to a Bible study and a young lady who knows the Lord got a revelation. And she looked at me and said, Brother John, you know, the Lord gave me a scripture for you. And I said, yeah, what is it? In 10:19. I said, what is that? And we looked at it and said, behold, I call you to the ministry. You know, you should cast out demons and this kind of thing. I said, oh, my God. So I said, okay, Lord, I don't want you to be mad at me. So I want to share with it. I'm going to get into it now. There are times, you know, when you're walking around going trying to figure out what you're going to do and why you can't stop doing things. Like in my case, mine was cigarettes, right? And I just smoke, and I said, I got to stop this. And I couldn't stop. And so when you have a sin that you can't get over, that you can't quit, then you got one or two things happening. Either that demon is have some influence on you, or either you're possessed by the demon. Now, as you know, there are times when a lot of us feel like, We just can't progress in our walk with God because every time we might go right 2 or 3 days and then the letter, wham, we right back into that same sin and everything else. You know, I had ministers calling me after I got into it pretty good, and they're calling me and and telling me their sins and they can't stop it. I mean, it went from one bad sin to another. Had some guy screwing the sheep, a guy who was a farmer. He couldn't stop screwing the sheep out in the backyard and all these kinds of things. Then they got one guy called me, and he masturbating 10, 12 times a day. He couldn't help it. And I said, I don't know why I can't stop. And I said, brother, that's because either demonic influence or you're possessed with a demon, these kinds of things. So I want you to know that every time thoughts come into your mind, it's not natural, not you sometimes. You may say, man, that chick sure look good. I sure want her. You know, and you become, yeah, I want. And see, the demon used to, he was stupid at first, because in my days when I was young, when the devil tried to tempt me to smoke my cigarettes before I got saved, to screw this girl or screw that girl kind of thing, they come to, don't you like her? Don't you want to go to bed her? Don't you want another pack of cigarettes? Don't you want to go get some liquor and get high and this kind of thing? And I'm thinking, I said, yeah, man, you know, and I go, you know. And then all of a sudden, I realized after I got into the ministry, you know, like 20 years later, I'm talking about when I was 18 up to the time I was 30, because I didn't get saved until I was 30 years old, see? And I was just being coached until God, I guess God said, I'm sick of this boy. John, I was sitting in my office as an executive in the office there. And he said, don't you know if you die tonight, you're not in my kingdom? That boy's just loud and clear. It happened 3 times at 3 o'clock in 3 days consecutively, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then when I went to bed one night, he woke me up and said, if you die tonight, you were not in my kingdom, my sentence, oh my God. I thought because I was a deacon, I passed a deacon. I was assistant pastor in the church, and I thought I had it made. Then he said, no, my son, you're just doing church things. You don't know me. You have never accepted me. You have accepted me as your Lord and Savior. And I went, I ain't never heard that. You know, because every time I'm in church, I've been, they said, come join the church. God said, you just joined the church, but you didn't join my family. You're just a member of the church kind of a thing. All right. So that's my testimony. God personally spoke to me and said, if you die tonight, you will not enter my kingdom, boy. And then he sent the post base commander in my office one day, and he told me that the Lord presented himself to me 3 times, and I knew that he was of God because nobody else knew that. What else? What I want to do, talk about, again, the 3 subtopics is this. One, we talk about Satan, the Satan's fall and his ambition, his attributes, his kingdom, his demise. And then I'm going to go into the demon part, fallen angels, their attributes, their organization, their functions, how demons operate, and how demons gain control. And then the last part is our mind. Our mind. Talk about the 4 spiritual types of demons and what they do. Now, let me see. Okay. Now, here we go. You all recall 2 Peter 2:4. It says this, and Jude 6 said, reveal 2 groups of fallen angels. One group actively opposes God and his people on earth. The other group of angels confined and chained with doctrines of the day of judgment. Satan also called the prince of demons. You find that in Matthew 12:24. He leads the host of active demons. They constitute the power of the air. Now, let me tell you some attributes of the demons. Here we go. You have some spirits. Well, they're all spirits. They can speak. They believe. You find that in James 2:19. I'm not going to quote all the scriptures because, you know, just got 1 hour to do this. They exercise their wills. They try to get you to do all perverted things they can think of. And they demonstrate intelligence. They're smart. They're smarter than human beings. They've been around a long time. They have emotions. You know the scripture where it says that the demons tremble when they hear the name of Jesus. And they all recognize Jesus when he comes around. And they recognize men of God. I mean, true men of God, not one who said, I got 3 degrees. I got 3,000 degrees. You go up there and talk about, you come out of that child, that woman, that man. I got 3 degrees. You know, that demon will cuss you out and tell you, you better shut up. He tell me, I'm looking at you, buddy. I'm not looking at your degree. I'm looking what kind of life you've got. And that's what many spirits say. He or she is a homosexual. Oh, he or she cheating on his wife. Oh, she a finger screwing a little child in the church. That demon tell him everything, you know? And so you can't say, come out in the name of Jesus. I went to such and such seminary. That demon would throw you clean out the window. Because they'll always warn you. Because I've been in it personally. So it says, they have emotions. They recognize Jesus. They have supernatural strength. Just a couple of days ago, man told Brother Emmett to get the hell out of his house. Because he's a doctor and he got a congregation 300. And so the Lord said, just sit back. He sat back. You come out of my child, you demon. Demon say, look at him. Preacher man, you speak to me one more time with all that's in you, I'm going to deal with you. I said, come on, wham. the man was up in the ceiling naked. We've been to several churches where the demon tried, I mean, the pastor tried to show out. They're talking about, I am the pastor here. And he comes down the aisle on a horse. Some came down a donkey with 100 armor bearers with these big old pink robes on. And then as soon as he speaks to the demon, going to the demon, say, if you speak to me one more time, you're going to be embarrassed. I said, come out. And the demon stripped him naked and put him up to see everybody, all 1,200, 1,400 members in the church looking at the man screaming, hollering, Brother John. I said, I ain't that trained yet, buddy. I tried to tell you. I told you that if you ain't right, you better not see anything of that demon. You kept telling me, I'm stopped. I told you, sir. He's looking at your spirit. Shut up. Hell with you. I said, well, okay, man. All right, so I'm going to talk about they have supernatural presence. They are eternal. They have their own doctrine. They are evil. They can tempt people into all kinds of rude stuff. They can deceive you, you know, kind of thing. They can oppress. They can bring bondage of fear as well. And another thing, that's the attributes of demons. And let me see what else I want to share. Yeah, all right, some of the different kinds that you have. Demonic classes. You have some principalities. You have some that are powers. You have some that are rulers of the darkness. You have some spiritual hosts of wickedness. And demons can serve in different functions. What are they? I said, my Lord, man, was I dumb all these years? Demons serve different functions. One, they're evil spirit. By that, I mean, they can influence immoral acts. Immoral acts. They got folks around here thinking it's okay to go to bed with another man, or women go to bed with another woman, kind of a thing. And then we get threats, Brother Emin and I, and I get them too, because they, you know, I'm assisting, you know, and I don't like your you know, such thing. I'm coming down there, I'm a ball jack you. And I go, what in the world is a ball jack? And I say, Brother Emin, you know, what's all these guys, they talking about? Ain't no such thing as tongues that died out and everything else. And I'm teaching a lie. And I said, you know what? I told them how God came to me personally and gave me the gift of tongues, but they can't accept it, you know, kind of thing. He said, that's because they don't want to believe. They're listening to their mind, which is not the fleshly mind, which is not but the devil influence. So I go, I says, evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. And so that's why Moose is saying, I'm going to ball jack you. I don't even know what ball jack meant, y'all. I think I learned that about like six months ago. Everyone who called up told me, I don't like your teaching. You ain't all that. I'm bigger than you. I'm more powerful than you. I got 3 doctorate degrees. And I said, Lord, this dude here spitting out his education. I said, man, God don't care nothing about you. I've got a doctorate. I got 3 doctorate degrees. And you ain't nothing. You just got 1 degree. I mean, 1 master's degree. You know, 3 master's degrees. I got many more. And I got a lot of other people. I got a 1,400 membership. I said, man, you full of pride, man. You go up there and try to talk to a demon with that attitude, that demon will strip you naked and give you the best whipping you ever had. Shut up, nigga. That's how he talked to me, you know, and Brother Emin. You know. I said, So I get to let it go because I know who's talking, not that person. It's that demon inside that person. So you have evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. You have unclean spirits. Guess what they do? They induce unclean thoughts. Unclean thoughts. Perverted, unclean thoughts. And you think because those thoughts in your head, that's you. It ain't. It's that demon in you. Those demons are slick now. They don't say, don't you want to screw her? Don't you want to go to bed with that other man? It's good to have homosexual fun. And you be thinking, and the demon going, don't you want to do this? Don't you want to do that? And then finally, people start getting hip and I go, wait a minute, hold it. Somebody in my head say, don't you want to have sex with her? Don't you want to kill that sucker? Don't you want to steal some of that offering and so on? And then the person stops and say, hold it. That's not me. I don't speak to myself like, don't you want to do this? Don't you want to do it? Oh, my God. I think I'm possessed with a demon. I'm being attacked by a demon. So now those demons ain't got a spot. Now, the demon don't say, don't you want to go to bed with him or her? Don't you want to take some of that off money? Say, man, I want some of that money. They won't know it. I sure like to screw her. I know I'm a man, but I sure want to go to bed with that other man. He sure is sexy. I tell a little white lie. It won't hurt. See, and that's how the devil tricked us. He said, I sure want to do this. I sure want to do that. He used first person. Now, he don't say, don't you want to do that? Because you can say, who just said that to me? But now they say, I sure want to do this. I sure feel like doing that. That's the demon using that first person. All right. unclean spirits induce unclean thoughts. Remember now, every thought that comes in your head is not necessarily yours because it's coming out of your head. That's demonic influence. Another function, the spirit of infirmity. I said evil spirits, they influence immoral acts. Unclean spirits, they induce unclean thoughts. Then you got spirits of infirmity, they inflict the body. I don't know why I always get sick. And anytime I turn around, I'm sick. Man, this happened to me. Same old, same old, same old. That's because you need to get yourself right with the Lord. That's the demon of infirmity. Always that same affliction. Every time I look at it, take me to the hospital. Every time I look up, I'm sick. And then you have a deceiving spirit. They produce false doctrines and cults. Deceiving, they produce false doctrines, like they said, like they call me, Brother John. This is Dr. Thompson. Okay, all right. Tongues have ceased. And I looked at the book and said, it says, tongues will cease, prophets will cease, and knowledge will cease. And I go, why did you just pick on the tongues? It was two other things. He said, prophecy will cease, and prophecy, that's when God used a minister to share some knowledge with his congregation. And intelligence. Haven't ceased. We still got airplanes. We got all kinds of guns. We got cities. Can you imagine? Look at all we progress. We got cell phones and all that. That's in that same paragraph. It says tongues will cease, prophecy will cease, knowledge will cease. Knowledge will cease. Look at all this knowledge we have. It just says will. Will is present tense. I mean, it's future tense, not present tense. So I asked the Lord about that, and because I didn't have a peace of mind. I was raised up under a doctor, Presbyterian minister. Then when I moved here after I got grown to Atlanta, I married a Baptist wife because I was raised up a Methodist. Then I married a Baptist wife, and we've been in that church for 20 years, and all I heard was, we have this, getting rid of it. And then one evening when I was in bed praying, the Lord said, that's an error, my son. I go, huh? Who, huh? I couldn't believe it. I said, I'm hearing things. He said, no, that's me, son. And then he told me where to go. I went down to Savannah, back hometown. I went to my sister's church. She was Pentecostal. And she laughed at me. She said, y'all still talking that stuff about people hanging off the shingling? She said, go talk to my pastor. The pastor said, I'm not going to try to preach and teach. Go down there to the altar. You saved? Tell me. Are you saved? I said, yeah. I accept Christ my personal Lord. He said, go down there. Those gifts are relevant to you. Just asking for it to say. I said, all right. Either you will look like a fool or I'm going to look like a fool or whatever. I went down and said, Lord, I thank you for the gift. Then I said, I'm going to trick him. Let's see. I look at Roman, 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. I look at all these different gifts. And I thought I would trick him. I said, the one they always tell me, tongues have ceased. Mm-hmm. And then so I said, Lord Jesus, I come to you in faith. I don't want to cheat. If you got some gifts for me, I want them. I ain't going to say that to him. We have this word. I see where in the Bible it says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. I see that that you have these gifts for us believers. You say a person can't get saved unless you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and a person can't speak in tongues or speak or get none of these gifts, teachings, music, and all this other kind of stuff, unless they believe. I say, I believe. I really believe. But I don't know what to believe. I've been sitting on all these teachers who tell me, ain't no for us today. I said, Lord, I really believe, but I don't want to make you mad at me. Please tell me. Okay, I believe. And then the pastor, John, the Lord wants you to start praying to him. I said, I am. I said, okay. And I said, Lord, thank you for the gift of tongues. Lord, I just preached it. And I came out speaking in tongues. I couldn't stop speaking in tongues for 3 days. All right. So a deceiving spirit, they want to do that to you. They want to tell you this ain't happening on days. And then you got teachers and false teachers. All right. Demons, how they attack us. And they do it and carry out Satan's plan. This is what they do when they attack us. They can quote scripture. Matthew 4:6, my son, tongues is not for us today. Listen to me, I'm a doctor. And I go, I went back all the way back to Savannah, Georgia, where I'm from. And I said, doctor, remember you told me that's not for us today and everything? You're a Methodist, but you don't know what you're saying. I said, well, listen here. I went, the man started crying. He said, I can't teach that in my church, man. Them people kicked me out of here. I don't know what to believe. Maybe it is. I don't know. And I said, you never tried to figure it out? No, because I'm a Methodist. I said, okay. I came back to Atlanta, talked to my pastor, who was the doctor, was the doctor over the Baptist church here. And I went up in his rectory one Saturday morning, and he said, well, for the boys, hey, John, how you doing? And then I said, sir, you lied to me. You said that it's not for us today. What are you talking about? I told him the tongues and everything else. What you mean? How you figure that out? I said, I ain't figured out. The Lord honored my search, and he told me this. And then I started speaking. He told me to perk up ears, and I said, she could get the cup. And the man broke down and started crying. I got some of my family speak in tongues, but I can't teach that. I'm Baptist, and I want my church. I'm not going to lose my church. I got a family to take care of. And I said, bye, and I walk out the door. So demons attack us in various ways in carrying out Satan's plan. They do this. They can quote scriptures. They teach their own doctrine. They transform themselves into angels of light. They can encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. They can afflict, like, oh, Lord have mercy, encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. Like, we got a lot of men in their churches finger screwing these little children and everything, and then masturbating right in front of the child and everything else. Pitiful. They tempt with hypocrisy and lying. They can sow tears. By that, I mean, they can plant this wrong doctrine. They full of pride. They tempt you with pride. And many times here, oh, how much education you got, boy? And then we do say, how much education you got, boy? Sometimes I say, well, girl, I have this many degrees. I got 3 degrees, but I got 4. 1 basic college and 3 master's degrees. You know, well, I'm higher than you. And I hate hearing that. I said, he don't even know a spirit. I told him to say that. I'm higher than you, boy. You know, it's kind of a thing. He don't use uneducated boys like Brother Emmett. He just got a high school diploma, you know, kind of thing. And then that's what I'm going to say. God used Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They weren't theologians. They were Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. And God gave them the gospel by way of the Holy Spirit. Now, why didn't he have the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes to give us the gospel since they were theologians, you know? Not putting down theologians. I know a lot of righteous theologians can lay hands on you and you'll be healed. I know theologians, man, who can interpret tongues and everything else. Sometimes I can speak in tongues and he tell me exactly what the Lord said. So you got them both ways. So you got your bad and your good in every classification. They tempt us with pride. That's another thing they can do. They know what we like and what we don't like. That's where that spirit comes in. Some of them can produce miracle signs. Yeah. All right. So that's the attributes against Christians. Let me see. What time is it? Because I'm going to talk about that mind, too. Okay. Good. I'm going good. Okay. How demons gain control. How do they get control over us, Brother John? All right. Demons can oppress or possess a person because of their smartness, their intelligence. They can tempt us through the mind. They can tempt us through our sinful actions. They get next to us through our desires and through an empty house. Let me explain. I said demons can gain control of us generations. By that I mean, which is through the mind. The mind is one of the major battlefields of Satan. If Satan controls your thoughts, remember I said all these thoughts that come in your head, I don't care if they're evil, they're not biblical, then you know those are not your natural thoughts. So if Satan controls your thoughts, he will eventually what? Control your actions. Lack of mental control eventually results in a lack of use of the will. This leads to sinful action. Continuing in sinful thoughts and actions can what? Can lead us to oppression and possession, and finally to a reprobate man. And you know the Bible in Romans 1 chapter talk about a reprobate man where the woman want to go to bed with another woman because she lost his eye for a man. Man going to bed with another man because he lost his eye for a man. And God says, okay, I'm not going to stop you, but you're going to have to answer to me. Now, you're going to let that devil give you a reprobate man. You're doing that kind of crap. Now, don't you know that's not me? And you use my name talking about I'm a Christian. And you running around in the dark, screwing this boy, screwing this man, and screwing this woman, all this stuff, and stealing, offering up the thing and like that. And he ain't blind, you know, so I leave that alone. It is a mind totally controlled by evil thoughts. When I say through the mind, he catches us through our thoughts because we're thinking those thoughts are ours. So I just like to say to you, when that thought comes, you say, don't you want to do this? Well, no, you don't even have to say, is it me? Or you know the word of God. All you got to do is say, wait a minute, that's not biblical, so that's not me. That's a stinking demon trying to get me to violate God's word. So if I get killed on the way home, my behind have to go stand before Jesus, and he look at me and say, depart from me, you work from nigga, I never knew you. That's all he wants. All he hoping you get an automobile wreck or something. And then you die, and then you got to go. Then that angel come and snatch your spirit out of your body. You go stand before the Lord, and you just say, I'm sorry. But depart from me, I never knew. You thought you hide from me? Please, get a light. So the demon get us through our mind. So just remember, every thought that comes in your head is not yours. Then the demon control us through our sinful actions. And when his sinful thoughts are soon fulfilled by what? Sinful actions. You keep on thinking, he's going to keep, then she fine, and she fine, then he fine. Look at all that money off. You know, they won't know if I take $20 out and this kind of thing. So Sinful thoughts are soon fulfilled by what? Sinful actions. For example, the thought of adultery is fulfilled in the actual what? Acts of adultery. You keep on thinking and thinking and thinking and keep looking at it, and eventually you're going to do it. Then some people are crazy. Some people ask for power from Satan. And that, now by that I mean through desire. Some people get demon-possessed or demon-oppressed this way. Some people actually ask Satan for demonic power to enable them to perform supernatural acts. You got a lot of actors and singers and all who did that so they could be famous and make millions of dollars. All right. Another way Satan gained control, through an empty house. Think now, you the house. When you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that's when what? That's when and only when the Holy Spirit come and take up possession into your body. So through an empty house, meaning that you doing something you ain't got no business. So you're doing some sin that you know what you're doing, but you just can't stop. You're doing it sometimes not because you can't stop, because you don't want to stop. And that's the way I let you say. Say you're laying on top of this woman, on top of this man, whoever you're, woman or girl, what woman, whatever. And you're up there screwing and humping on this chick or this guy. And the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in your Holy Spirit and say, hey, hold up. Don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? I'm here in you. And you laying on top of this woman, or you laying on top of this man, I'm here. In no way. And before you realize it, that demon, I mean, the Holy Spirit gone, left you. And people don't even know that they no longer have the Holy Spirit. And they can't even stop doing all those things. Because you think the Holy Spirit of God is going to lay there while you laying on top of that person, and that person looking at you and saying, oh, it feels so good. And that demon looking right at you through that woman's eye and saying, I don't believe this. He just said he's supposed to be a Christian. He's supposed to love Jesus. I'm supposed to be his counselor. And he's using this temple that I'm in to do all those hanky-pankies. No way, Jose. You know? And boom, man, the Spirit going. And people don't know. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't know that the Spirit is gone. And then some people, demons gain control through permission. Remember I said? They gain control through generation. That's if your mom and dad didn't care about God. And none of them, they were heathens. They cursed God. They never believed, never took you to church or anything else. And then you all of a sudden, you get sick. Everything happens to you. You're always getting automobile accidents. Something always happens to you. That's a curse on your life, because what? God says, I will curse your generation, you know, so many generations. And the person can't understand why I can't keep a job, why I'm getting fired, always sick and everything, because mama, papa, one of them, worshiped the devil. I didn't believe in Jesus, that kind of a thing. So another one. Master says he can gain control through your mind, through your sinful actions, through your desire, through an empty house. That means the Holy Spirit gone. Through permission. Sometimes God grants permission for demonic powers. In other words, some people just can't get act right to nothing. They think they can get away when they keep on going. And sometimes God will assign a demon to you. Then you get to face it. And the book says, sometimes God grants permission to demonic powers to accomplish specific purposes. This can be evidenced by a trial, as in the case of Job. Remember Job? Job, judgment of sin. You know the life of Job, that kind of a thing. All right. So, demons can oppress you, they can possess you, and these kinds of things. Now, I want to, you know, there are numerous demons, but I'm just going to specify, talk about just three of them. Think these three that you really need to know about. Okay, so demonically caused condition, how demons operate. Remember that. How demons operate. Opposition to God's will is and Satan's main objective. Now, the word Satan means, we know, adversary. Demons of various natures operate as. Now, listen at this. I was shouting, oh, what? That's what they call? You know, I was looking in my book. It said, demons of various natures operate as spirits of infirmity, seducing spirits, unclean spirits. And it's go on. But I picked these three to talk about because, I mean, it is something else. The first kind I want to share with you, the spirit of infirmity. These are spirits that what? Afflict the bodies of believers as well as unbelievers. You find that, I'm not going to name all those scriptures like Luke 13, 10, 17. They afflict unbelievers as well as believers. Spirit of infirmity always say, I'm always sick. I don't understand. What the heck am I doing? Blah, blah, blah. Then you got the other kind called seducing spirits. These spirits afflict the spirit of man, seducing him to believe. Here we go. Doctrinal lies. Talking lies, hey, we don't tongue enough for us today. I'm glad God let me. I mean, I didn't have a piece, but I was taught that all through the 20 years in my Methodist school, Methodist church, and my Baptist church. But I always felt uncomfortable. I know now, Lord said that was my spirit, boy. it says, And the future didn't say now has ceased. It says will cease, present tense. But you're going to get a lot. So I don't argue about it no more. I said, go ahead and believe what you want. I believe in what happened. I got it. But guess what? I still wasn't ready with all these doctor degrees. Tongues have ceased. And then I quit arguing. I don't debate no more. I said, hey, man, believe what you want to believe. I ain't give a flip. So he had deducing spirits. These spirits afflict the spirit of man, seduce him to believe what? Doctrinal lies. And be condemned to eternal punishment. A lot of them don't believe in Jesus no more. He was a good man. He was a good prophet. He ain't no son of God. And besides, there ain't no three, just one God. Ain't no son of God or the Holy Spirit. That's a bunch of crap. They are spirits of false doctrines. These were called seducing spirits. You know? They are false teachers. They seduce spirits of deceptive. They actually work miracles that lead some to believe that they are of God. Let me repeat that again. Seducing spirits. Have you believed different lies, and they try to do so to condemn you to eternal punishment. And they are spirits, as you call them, the spirits of false doctrine. They are spirits of cults. Satan got these jokers, man, got them signed all kinds of categories. They are spirits of false doctrines, you know. He's just a man. And you got the Buddhist guy, and you got the Muslims and all the other kind of stuff. False Christ. False teachers. That's what they do. Seducing spirits are very, very deceptive, y'all. Seducing spirits include, listen at this, the spirit of divination. And you can find it, Acts 16, chapter 16, verse 16. You got spirits of divination, and you got familiar spirits. Familiar spirits want to know everything you're doing, and they know what you like and what you don't like. And so when they want you to get tempted again, they just throw what you like in your thought, in your mind. And before you know it, you're into it again. But anyway, those seduced spirits are spirits of divination. They are familiar spirits. Look how they operate. Familiar spirits operate in fortune tellings. That man's really a man of God. Man is what told me everything about my mama. Told me about my grandma, my great-grandma. And he didn't know me, but he told me everything about my life. Then you got folks, witches. Then you got people who do palm reading. And let me tell you, that's where you open yourself up for demonic possession. Because if you've done that, you're going to have to ask God to forgive you. Fortune telling, witches, people who read palms, crystal balls, and tea leaf readers, they are conducting by the leading of a demon. That's what he's being led by. There ain't no natural man can tell you. But if you're a godly man, then the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. But other folks who ain't godly pretend they are, and you go to the fortune tellers, the demon telling them. Witches, demons telling them what to do. Palm reading, demons telling them. Crystal balls, demon telling them. Tea leaf readers. And through unscriptural methods, these spirits of divination, what? Foretell the future of things naturally unknown. Warning against unfamiliar spirits are given, what? You find that in Leviticus, the 19th chapter. And you find that in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, and 18th chapter, and Leviticus again in the 20th chapter. Seducing spirits, deal with your conscience, deal with your temper, they deal with your interests, what fascinates you, what excites you, what arouses you, what attracts you, what deceives you. Seducing spirits entice men and women to worship idols and even Satan himself. Then you have what you call the unclean spirit. These demonic powers afflict the soulish nature of man. They are responsible for, my Lord, for immoral acts. They're responsible for unclean thoughts. They're responsible for temptations and other strategies of Satan used to bind men and women and us. And remember this now, when Satan controls us with unclean spirits, he can also, what, operate in our homes, want to beat on the wife, want to cuss her out. I have some wives calling me now. I don't know what's wrong with my husband. That's what's mad. That dude wants to screw me in my butt. I don't understand. I don't go for that mess and everything else. And that's all he listens. He's always watching these pornography and everything else. And every time we had to have sex, he preferred to screw me in my butt. And so, oh, my God. And then I have to tell her, honey, you better talk to your pastor about that. So he can operate in homes, churches, and so forth. But I had, what did I want to really? Oh, yeah. Another one, one I really want to get into, the main one, familiar spirits, okay? You got rules of darkness world, and you got spiritual wages in high places. You got devils and demons. You got spirits of the underworld. You got spirit birds, demons. You got, familiar spirits. Boy, I must have read about 15 books from those noted theologians who really know demonology. And I want to focus on the familiar spirit. What did it do? I told you about the spirits of sickness, infirmity, and sperm, and the ones about who like to deal with your mind, these kind of things. But listen at this. You have familiar spirits. And I look at my notes, you know, and I go, my God, I didn't know that. See, we can encounter familiar spirits who work for Satan, young. They are like reconnaissance. If you know what that means, when you're in the army, you're going to check out the enemy and see what's going on, see how, where their weaknesses and everything else, and then you can come with an elaborate attack. See, their job, familiar spirits, their job is to spy and take reports back to headquarters. Spirits are demonic agents whose main assignments, guess what, are to become well acquainted with a person, a group of people. They really become acquainted with your actions, your likes, and your dislikes. Familiar spirits know your hot spots, y'all. They know which buttons they know which buttons to push. They know your weaknesses and your strengths and your likes and your dislikes, as well as your passions and your pet peeves and what gets you going and what upsets you and what distracts you and your desires and your ambitions and everything. And that's how they can draw us into things that violate God's word. They know which button to push, y'all. They know your weaknesses. They know your strength. They know what you like, and they know what you dislike. They know your passions and your pet peeves, what gets you going, what upsets you, what distracts you, your desires, your ambitions, every doggone thing. Familiar spirits have three different assignments. They deal with geographical areas, cultural areas, and individual areas. Now, familiar spirits act as informants. All right, they act as spies. They go and check. Let me go check them out. Let me go check this gal out. So on. And then he take it back to Satan and say, she like this and she don't like that. She like guys just looking like this guy. And then Satan will assign a dude that meets what attracts her. He knows what people like and what they don't like to a larger network of demons. Hear what I say? To a larger, the minor one. Track you out, find out what you like, and then you go to the next higher group of demons and say, oh, he liked this. He liked to take a swing and do. And that's it. Who functions as kind of satanic? He is a satanic intelligence. That's what familiar spirits are. They're satanic intelligence. They go back and tell everything on you. Their portfolio includes what? Their roles as informants and counselor to Satan and other highly specialized principalities and the powers and the rulers and the doctors of the world. I can imagine them reporting to satanic council bringing to the table information that would be utilized in the designing of attacks and strongholds. They are something else. Familiar spirits observe very strict protocols too. Although they are not employed to attack in addition to the aforementioned tasks, their job descriptions would also include, guess what, examining of spiritual hedges of protecting built around belief to figure out what's protecting him from sinning. I got to check him out, see what he's doing. Is he reading, do you have him devotion or what? Or he got a big brother, big sister, keep interfering and keeping him or her from doing these sins and blah, 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 kind of thing. So, Lord have mercy. So, I just wanted to share that about unclean spirit, especially that familiar spirit. That familiar spirit knows everything about you. They follow you from sun up to sundown. And then they go tell Satan. Then Satan assigns a special demon to you to cause you to fall into that place. And you got a few others. You got what you call unclean spirits. Satan even commands unclean spirits. Yep. The same spirits Jesus cast out in the Bible. Them same spirits. They are lewd, they are promiscuous, and they perform immoral activities. That's unclean spirits. Everything you can think unclean, that's what's been assigned to you. I don't know why I want to do this. That's nasty. Then you got evil spirits. Satan commands vicious and malicious spirits that are responsible for promoting terrible, dehumanizing conditions. They work and connect with other spirits to cause what? Misfortunes and mishaps and accidents and to incite criminal activities. Then you have what you call the seducing spirits. Satan commands seducing spirits, which are responsible for attracting and drawing us into a wrong or foolish course of action. Many fall victim to this kind of spirit, seducing spirit. I'm going to seduce that man. I'm going to seduce that woman. But I'm going to seduce his mind, having to think just like me. Then you have... then I told you, I think, and you all know Satan's name. I just share a few with you. We know he's called Lucifer, devil and Satan, Beelzebub, adversary. He's called Belial. He's called dragon. He's called the serpent. He's called the god of this world. He's called the prince of this world. He's called the prince of the power of the air, accuser of the brethren. He's called the enemy, the tempter, and so forth. Now, what I want to do now is come to the mind. Let me see what that is. Okay, I'm going to talk about the mind. The mind. Okay. The mind is the battlefield. Boy, I really love this when I was studying on this because I got several books that I went to the Christian bookstore. Unfortunately, they don't hardly have Christian bookstores no more. There. You have to order them things now. It seems like all the Christian bookstores are shut down. But the mind is the battlefield. The mind is the battlefield. I have called. I just can't stop it, Brother John. I don't know why, kind of thing. I had one man in the church was talking to us, and God gave us some revelation about the person. The person couldn't deny it. Said, "Yeah, I drink a booty about 15 times." Said, what? Yeah, I would take my finger in you know, children's church, or children's service, whatever, and then I can have them come up to my office, and I just, you know, take a booty, and I don't want to go, that's nasty. And just leave that alone. Let y'all go with your imagination. So anyway, let's see, the mind's the battlefield. Remember now, see, there are times when you feel you are making real progress, and then all of a sudden, you can't stop, and you go back like me with my cigarette. I'll be supposed to say, this is the last time. I'll grab a cigarette because it's 2 o'clock in the morning. My wife looked at me and said, are you sure you're quitting your time? Yeah, babe. I grabbed the whole pack. I'm going to take 2 cigarettes out, smoke, and boil the pack, stomp it, and rip them apart and flush them down the toilet. Then about an hour later, she see me getting up. Uh-huh. You go into the store. Yeah? You don't have to sit in that bed. I just got to do one more. And that used to make me so mad. I would, the whole cigarette, bam, throw them, flush them down the toilet. And then an hour later, what I'm doing at 3 o'clock in the morning, getting dressed, going to the store, get a bad pack of cigarettes. That was stupid. And finally, I said, the Lord, deliver me. And the Lord said, I've been waiting on you, son. And then all of a sudden, and when I woke up the next morning, I had no desire for it. Because I always wanted after I drink a soda, eat some breakfast, I drink a beer or something, you know. And it's got to have that cigarette. Kind of a thing. So, no. I have no more parts of it. Now, I have some, with respect to the mind, maybe I should, it has, I want to talk about the unconverted mind, the polluted mind, the doubtful mind, the heretical mind, the naive mind, the passive mind, the natural mind. You need to know how your mind operates, because every time you hear that boy tell me, I'm higher than you, I'm more spiritual than you, please don't say that no more. There ain't nothing but Satan, full of pride. That's how he fell. And he wanted to get all God's ministers. And, you know, I used to, man, when he used to come, I said, man, go to, you know where, man, you ain't nothing, you chump. Tell me, you higher than me because you got 3 master's degrees, and you higher than us because you know what I'm saying, because you did your paper on this. You did your term paper on this, and you did a paper on that. I don't care about that, man. I really don't. But you know what? I used to say, go to hell, but I don't do it. I'm going to say, John, you just cursed again. I go, excuse me, God. I just get tired of all the pride. He says, I know. Just don't let them throw you out of the way. Because, man, I'll go in a minute. And there were a couple of times I cursed and go, well, you ain't nothing. You just got this degree. You ain't got a church like me. How many churches? I said, I ain't got no church now. I used to be assistant pastor. I was a chaplain. You ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. Man, boy, some kind of old flesh come up on, and I go out like a 10. And then Jesus say, you fell again, boy. I say, oh, my God. I say, I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't mean to do it. I mean, I'd be cussing them out left and right. I said, well, I can't help it. I'm getting tired of calling me. I'm stupid. I'm dumb. How can I work with somebody who ain't got no college degree? I'm sick of it. I'm tired of hearing it. He says, I know, but I'm praying you. Because you know what, son? What? I said, that's demons talking to you through them. I said, what? He said, yeah. You know what they always tell me? I'm higher than you. How much education you got? I'm higher than you. He said, that ain't not the demon in them. They don't know it. I said, well, he said, so when you're cursing them, you're cursing the demon. I got him. Some of them got tapes of me cursing from past experiences. And some, we got you. We're going to spoil your ministry. Listen at this boy. And I said, oh, God. And I said, oh, John, I want the devil that got them that tape in their hand. And he had me cussing like a champ. Because one guy told me, I'm coming to ball, Jack. You know, I said, man, you ain't nothing but a faggot. I said, I know what that means. I told him, come and screw me. Yeah, I'm going to put you in a dress. And I'm going to parade you all around the city. And you go to the store and get some rubbers. And you go to the store and get some Vaseline. I said, you go get them yourself. sucker. You know, well, listen here, nigga. Have white and black call me. Listen here, nigga. And I go, whoa, man. And then Emmett have to say, you're being trained, Brother John. Daddy number of demons. They don't even know it. I said, yeah, but I'm tired. I'm saying, nigga, you don't know. They call me boy, nigga, and everything else. I said, that's the demon, John. God is training you to deal with them demons. So, how when you go out in the field to cast out demons, they're going to say all kinds of nasty things. And what you going to do? You're going to cuss at them and everything else? And then that spoils your delivery. You won't be performing deliverance on that child who you would deliver because you be so busy cussing them back. I don't like though. No, man, I ain't no chump chain. My mom ain't raised me to be no little chump. You know, the sucker still called me all kind of nasty, dirty. I'm going to pop right back at him. You know, see, that's what the demons say. Ha, we got him. We got him. We got him. So I'm learning. You know, I slip every now and then. But that's hard to get 4, 5, 10, 15 calls every day. And they call you up and tell me, nigga, I'm high. And you ain't nothing. I should have your job. You know, I got this kind of training, and I have some training, and going to bag and tell me what kind of training. I don't care to hear that, but they don't know they're being used, see? And it pisses me off. But, you know, I'm getting to control it more and more now. And boy, but it gets to you, but training is something else. Because, you see, God got you through that, John, because when you go out on your own, when he calls you to send you somewhere, them demons will be in there and tell me, hey, nigga, and they're going to say all kinds of things, and they want you to go, you don't call me, no, no, and then you won't be able to deliver that person. And we say, we got him now. He can't do no deliverance on this child. We got him, that kind of a thing. Did you know, I'll ask you this question, did you know that create your circumstances? Whatever will be, will be. Do you know your thoughts create your thoughts, influence your relationships? I'm talking about your thoughts. In mind you now, all of them are not your thoughts. They create your circumstances. Whatever will be, that kind of thing. They will also, your thoughts influence your relationships. People don't like me. I know they're better than me. They always told me, I ain't going to relate with them because they think they're better than me. I'm higher than him. I don't need to be with him. So your thoughts influence your relationship. I only want to deal with people like me. I don't want to deal. All he got is a high school diploma. So did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Except Luke was a doctor, but he was a medical doctor. Your thoughts influence your relationships. Your thoughts provide health and finances. If you think you're sick and keep on acting like you're sick, you will be sick. And if you don't know how to handle your finances, you will suffer the consequences. You form your character, your thoughts. Like this, your thoughts will form your character. It won't hurt to look at this magazine. It just got some pretty naked girls in it. You form your character. Your thoughts form your character. It won't hurt to look at this magazine. I'm only looking. I'm not touching, and I'm not desiring to do something I ain't got no business doing. There's 7 ways Christians give grounds to Satan. Dig this. 1, your thoughts. Did you know that your thoughts are influenced, can influence your relationships? You know, and sometimes you think about it, I can't do this. And Lord be trying to lead you into a better job. I ain't that kind of knowledge. I ain't that good. I'm not that much of a speaker and so forth and everything else. God ain't going to call you nothing into something unless he's going to equip you for it. And he gets the glory and the credit. Just like Brother Emmett. Brother Emmett got a high school diploma and got a little 1-quarter college. But every time a professor around here, not a professor, but every time, yeah, professor too, every time a minister, a doctor called the chair, I want him to come to my church. Tired of this Negro. Got a high school diploma. He ain't better than us. And I don't know why that John Durden sitting under him, blah, 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 blah. Man, yeah, flunky. He ain't number flunky. And a lot of them challenge him. But he always asks the Lord, said, the Lord, do you want me to go? The Lord said, I want you to go because he's full of pride. I'm going to tear his butt down. And then he'd go, and he'd go, and he'd get there. Where's your Bible, boy? He said, I don't need a Bible. What? He says, I'm just going to. And then he always say this. I'm coming, but I got to warn you. What you going to warn me about, boy? He says, I'm going to debate you about the Bible, and you can pick any subject you want. Any subject. I read John Durden is not there with you. You crazy? We know he's writing your sermons and doing your teaching. And then I jump and say, no, sir. He's listening to the Holy Spirit. We have more than just his written word. God still speaks to us today. And when he gets there, He's going to be listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit going to be you ain't going to be debating him. You're going to be debating the Holy Spirit. Oh, bull, cop, bull, bull, man, bull. And then he'd go. And but before he go, he said, oh, I got something else I need to tell you. I'm coming. But you know what Jesus told me to tell you? What did Jesus tell you to tell me? Says, I'm going to out debate you because you're not debating me. You're going to be debating the Lord. Sometimes you might be debating the Holy Spirit. But guess what? I'm going to call out all your sins. He would say that every time because God's sick of him. He said, I'm coming. I'm going to accept your challenge. But you know what? And he already got the mission of the Lord. The Lord said, go. I'm sick of him. He's playing. He's not real. I didn't die for him, hanky-panky. Yeah, and I'm going to call out all his sins. And she said, oh, by the way, the Lord told me he can call out all your sins. Are you willing to accept me to come now? Or you can't. You don't know my sins. See, they blow the game. They blow the game right there by telling me you don't know my sins. He probably said, well, bring it on. I don't have no sins. I'm a man of God. You don't know my sins. So he look at me and say, I'll check you later, John. You jump on the plane and go. And make them all look like fools. Say, you screwing sister so and so and so and so, and sister so and so and so, and sister so and so and so, and brother so and so and so, and brother so and so and so. You meeting a faggot in the hotel. As a matter of fact, one is at the hotel right now. Watch what I tell you. Give me the phone. You guys, somebody give me a cell phone. And he say, the number is. You call the number and say, now, y'all, I'm put this thing up by the speaker. This a faggot going to be answering the phone. And he's called name Sugar Booty. And a Sugar Booty, gonna, we going to trick it. He's going to take the past caller. Everybody in the congregation listen. It might be 700, 800. And we ring the phone. Ring, ring, ring. Hello. Hello. Say, hey, hi. I'm a friend of Pastor so and so and so. He told me he'd be in a little bit and just be patient with him. Okay. He said, love you. He said, did you get the rubbers and everything? Yes, I did. And I cleaned my booty real good. Say, okay. And the whole congregation listening. That happened 10, 12, 15 times. So help me God. I'm not lying. I say, in the name of Jesus, I'm not lying. So, seven ways Christians give grounds to Satan types of mind. He do it through your thoughts. He influences your relationships. He impacts your health and finance situation. He creates your circumstances. He can form your character because of what you thought. And then he gives you delusional thoughts too. I have committed unpardonable sin. You might, that demon put that in your thought, you know, and you think, oh, Lord, cause, you know, you didn't bless me the Holy Spirit. Oh, okay, thank you, Brother John. See, and then other delusional thoughts. I have demons that won't leave me. It's really not a demon. In that case, the person just needs some help. I have no hope to continue living. And so I'm just going to commit suicide because nobody liked me. Those two delusional thoughts by those demons. Like these young kids now. Getting picked on at school when they go home and commit suicide and these kind of things. And I got a problem. I just can't forgive. I don't like nobody to put me down. I can't forgive. Tell me forgive. Forgive my butt. I ain't gonna forgive these kind of things. You know, kind of thing. So then there's other thing I was interested in. It's called Why Godly People Fall. And so I see that some fall because of sexual sins. Like adultery, fornication, bestiality. Got them country boys out of the country having sex with the cows, standing up on a stool. So sexual sins, adultery, fornication, bestiality, pornography, homosexuality, and pedophiles. And we getting a lot of those now because I can't help myself. I just take that little child and I just put my finger in his or her butt. I just can't help it. How many times you been doing that, man? 10, 12 times. I said, you better hope that you better stop me because that child, you frighten that child. That child may just finally get the guts to tell their mom and dad to come right in there. You think they want to talk to you and say hello and they're going to blow you away. Drugs and alcohol abuse, that's how they mess with your mind. They get you greedy for financial, abuse and control, worldliness in the world, gambling, church strife, all kinds of stuff going on in the church. No peace, heresy, pride, bitterness. And then divorce. Now the time. Oh yeah. How many? What time is it? Oh boy, I still got about 20 minutes. I love this one. See, when I was writing, I said Satan works on the mind of saints. Well, we are the saints, just as he does sinners, and we all know that. Because sometimes we want to do something we know we ain't have no business doing that kind of thing. Some get pornography books. Some go to their laptop and look up certain things and everything else. It says, some believers are continuing to live in their new Christian walk, but there are those who continue to cling to the old thoughts, heading the sinful ways. You know, and this would kind of upset me, like mine was really smoking a cigarette. And then when I got saved and everything else, man, shoot, like I said, I'd get up in the middle of the night, go back to the store, until finally I just had enough, really had enough, because God knew my heart. I told him, I'll quit now, probably a year, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd be right back at it. So he looked at the heart. We ask for deliverance, he gives it to you, but he knows our heart. He knows our spirit. If you're really serious about it, boom, and a weapon, it'll go away just that quick. But he say, Lord, take this sin away from me. And he's looking at you, and at the same time, he's going to say, no, man. You just right now, you just feel sorry for yourself, and you kind of look scared or something. You think you better save us to be safe. And then knowing doggone well that tomorrow night you'll be out doing the same thing. See, we already discovered that prior to being saved, your mind was blinded by the devil. You know, you find that in 2 Corinthians 4:4, you know, and you talked about our minds being blinded because every thought that comes into our head, we think it's our thoughts when it's the devil. And a word of caution, one time he said, do not think, however, that because the devil failed to keep us from being saved, that he will relinquish the fight for your mind. Satan works on the mind of saints just as he what? Does the sinners. I got a few questions. Did you know that your thoughts what? Like I said, create your circumstances, your thoughts, your health situation, your financial situation, because you act on your thoughts. You start thinking about cigarettes, I'm not thinking about it, next thing I know, what? I'm going to the store to get a pack of cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else I want to say. Oh, yeah. Then, remember I was talking about Satan works against the mind? Listen at this. I had missed this the last time I was doing it. I said, oh, my God, I forgot to do that one. So I'm going to do that one. The same thing about the mind. Satan works against the mind. How does Satan work against our mind, my fellow Christians and brothers in the Lord? Satan works against the mind to do what? Cause us to question the authority of God. We have to ask, you know, but you know what that is. I don't have break that down. Cause us to question the authority of God. Satan, how he works against, I'm talking about how he works against the mind. That's the thing. He causes us to use the flesh the wrong way. The flesh. That's all kind of sexual perversions and everything else. He causes us to develop wrong motives. He causes wrong attitudes. I don't like your attitude. I can care less, sucker. You know. Because soon as somebody, I'm talking about black and white, soon as they get mad, get angry about something. So listen here, boy. You know, and I go, Lord have mercy. That's supposed to pee me off, right? And I go, at first, I have to go to hell with you and hang up the phone. I don't slap one face, man. It's listen here, boy. You know, because what you got to say? Because the Lord be saying, That's that demon trying to get next to you. I want to get you out of harmony with me. And that's hard, y'all. That's so hard. I wasn't raised up to say, yes, sir. And you can call me son of this and son of that. I may be ready to kick some butt. But I can't do that no more, you know? And the devil knows it. And every time they call, they curse me out. They have some, and what they wanted to disagree with is stupid. And they start, listen here, boy. And then someone really goes, I'm coming there, and you go to the store and buy some lipstick and some dresses and stuff. I'm going to put some lipstick on you. I want you to be ready for me, boy, and buy some grease. And then I may take you back to Alabama with me and dress you up like a girl and parade you down the street. Or I may put you in one of my basement and just and tie you to the basement, chain to the basement. So my buddy's going to come where they get a piece of your black ass. And I said, Lord, him. I said, Lord. I said, shut up. Because I'm ready to come into him then, you know. But I go, yeah. Well, Lord, I can tell you better buy your own lipstick and your own rubber. Because I ain't buying it, sucker. And use it on, and I go, use it on your daddy or your son. And him said, John. I say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't need to say that. I repent. Because, you know, I'm in the flesh. That's what that demon want to do, give me this. They cause wrong attitudes. The demons, I'm talking about Satan works against your mind to what? Cause wrong attitudes, to cause rebellion, to bring hurtful accusations against you, to cause sexual impurity, to cause confusion. They want to they compromise ethics and morality. You know, talking, well, yeah, this ain't all that bad, you know. After all, I'm human, you know. And then, Satan works against the mind to bring a wrong mental focus on somebody. It dredge up old memories that need to be forgotten. Go every time you come in a memory, you're ready to kill somebody, you're ready to beat the you know what out of somebody. Sin was against the mind in respect that it causes it to be either inactive or overactive in our thinking. It causes us to be impatient, draw from seeking God and from fellowshipping with his people because we want to get even with somebody. No, I ain't let that sucker get away. I'm going to get that sucker. And we, the Bible says we should keep our thoughts on him steadfast. And then, remember I said, they're going to talk about how they gain control, how demons gain access to us. I wrote out a little partial list. This is what I wrote down. I said, the following partial list describes entry points the enemy uses to subdue people. Number one, the use of many altering substances such as drugs and alcohol. Number two, involvement in mind control such as teaching and stuff like that. How demons gain control? They have us to participate in different occult and Ouija boards and all that. And then they have us to environmental influence. What we do, we go around other people who like to do what we like to do, you know, and we with people who won't tell us because they're doing the same thing. Then you have how demons gain access, family influence, generation. Unfortunately, a lot of young men and women are raised up in the family who are not Christians and who don't believe in God and none of this stuff. I got a book at home in the study there. It lists all the different types of Christians, and they break it down and say what they believe in salvation, what they believe, who they believe in Jesus, what do they believe about the Holy Spirit. And then two-thirds of them don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They just say, number one, God. They don't believe in Jesus. He's just one little Jewish boy walking around trying to pretend like he's God. You know, I said, what? So I ran across about five or six different denominations and believe that. And then some of them don't even believe in a resurrection. I said, well, why are you in religion if you don't believe in the resurrection? But you'd be crazy. All right, here we go. They demons gain access through our fear. They gain access to us by our sinful habits. You just can't stop. Just doing it over and over. And then when you get to the point where you can't stop, then you say, Lord, I don't mess around and got demon possessed. They cause us to have emotional violation, hatred, rejection. They cause us to have how to gain control. Through physical violence. Say you get mad at somebody, and I'll kill that sucker. So, and you beat him and do all these kind of things, and you cause yourself to be entered by a demon. And that demon causes violence. And some of those demons, when they get saved, I said physical violation, they cause rape, they cause incest, they cause rejection. And then dangers. I got some dangers where they get you into. Danger of the cult. Guess what? They have us dealing with hydromancy. That's water divining, prognostication, that's predicting or foretelling the future by means of signs and omens. They have some of us reading astrology books. Boy, I've been doing that when I was in college. And when I found that out, I said, oh, my God. I said, heck, I might be possessed by a demon. I don't know. So I said, Brother John. And when I was going, he said, have you ever been dealing with astrology? How do you know that? He said, Lord. And then, so I had to pray, man, to get that off me, man. Then necromancy, people talking to the dead and all that stuff. Then people going and attending seances. You open yourself up to demon possession when you do that. Going to seances, reading astrology signs and all that stuff, and water witching and witchcraft. And then let's see, what else? Oh. And I got also activities that deal with fortune telling, palm reading, crystal ball, gazing, automatic writing and speaking, casting spells, placing curses, physical, psychic blasts, and some Ouija boards and all these other kinds of crystal boards and reading tarot cards. These cause you to get demon possessed. Now, I talked about sitting work against the mind and how demons gain access. I just told you through those things. And so I want to let me see, what time is it? I don't know what time it is. Okay. Guidelines for dealing with demons. Okay. Guidelines for dealing with demons. Number one, pray for discernment. Now, see, that's where the gift of the Spirit come in. When you pray for discernment, I wish all of you would do that because when you listen to your congregation, Pastor, I just don't know what to do about that. What do you think I should do? See, that's where the gift of discernment, gift of wisdom, gift of discernment. The gift of discernment is God would reveal something to you about that person who comes to you for counseling. The person might be full of stuff. the person might be trying to get in bed with you, or, you know, and he'd be psyching you out. Oh, my husband just don't never do it to me, you know, these kind of things. And you would know the Holy Spirit said, she's up to no good. She's trying to do this. He's up to no good. He's trying to rip you off. He's trying to get in your favor. He want to come in and cut your grass because he's trying to get in your favor because he got something down where he want to get next to you later on and some of these kinds of things. Word of wisdom, that's when you come across a problem. A congregation member comes and says, I don't know what to do about this. And then while she's talking, you're talking to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what is this woman's problem? And what should I say? The Holy Spirit will tell you. He does it with Brother Hammond all the time. You know, sometimes, you know what he'd do this approval, because sometimes he'd see me going back into my old Baptist days. He'd say, somebody to call me. We might be together. And somebody to call me on the cell phone. I got a problem, Mr. John. Can you help me, please? I said, this one got a problem. He said, I'll be right back. I'm going to step outside. He'll step out of my room. He'll go into the other room, in the rec room somewhere. And then I say, well, ma'am, she said, what do you think I should do, Brother John? And when she said, Brother John, guess what? He'd walk in back in the room and say, she just hung up. I mean, she's waiting for you to give an answer. Tell her this. Zip, 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 zip. Tell her this. And it'd be right on. It'd be exactly what the problems that the woman gave me. I said, how do you know that? She said, okay, the Lord told me that we have his written word and we have his words too. He talked to us. He still want to talk to us. My sheep hear my voice. Didn't he say that? I go, yeah, Brother Emmett, yeah. That's another hump I had to get over. You know, I go, golly. And that's what I'm working on now. I'm studying on how to hear the voice of God. Let's see. Guidelines for dealing with demons. I already said it. Say keep with, recognize the symptoms. Be so slow to make judgments. Do not deal with the situation alone. Always have someone with you. Recognize their tactics. Do not be afraid because they will pick it up in a second. Keep what you discover confidential. Continue to minister to the individual after the demons have left, because you're pushing the shock and everything, leaning on you, and then now you have a different mindset and think, what happened? I feel different. And then you got to talk to the person, where that demon's going, huh? These kind of things. But don't you open yourself back up, because if you go back to that same sin, guess what the Bible says? Seven more demons are coming. You'd be worse off you. Oh, my God. See? Do not be discouraged by the past failure. You know, like you might try to cast a demon out, and demons say, I'm still here. And you might have been in that room for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and like you ain't got nowhere. And so my caution is don't be discouraged, because you know why? You might forget to find out if that demon's in there legally. You know, because the Bible says that we can be cursed. Our generation can be cursed for 8 to 10 generations. So if your mama don't like God and always rebuke and frame and do witchcraft and all that, that hurts, that hurts you. You will always have something wrong with you. Either you always get sick. You're always in an accident. You can't stay stable. You're going from one apartment to one house to another apartment to a house, moving here, moving there, all kinds of mishaps and everything else. That's because that person has a curse on their life, because God says, because of your lifestyle, I'm cursing your generation, 2 and 3 and 4 generations. See? I was shocked. One time I had a friend who just couldn't stop. Hanky panky. And I was reading the Bible and I go, what? And looking at it, says, if, say, for example, you're cheating on your wife or you're cheating on your husband or something like that, you know, I wish I wrote it down. It says, God would curse your children. Your generation will be cursed 4 and 6, 4 and 8 generations. I said, oh my God. Boy, don't you know when my kids grew up? I said, hey, come here, John. He said, what, daddy? I said, you got a beautiful wife and everything else. Now, look. Don't marry her if you think you got to see other girls got to run around with. You know why? Why, Dad? Because you bring a curse on you. Say, where is that in the Bible, Dad? And I said, oh, my God. He said, thank you, Daddy. I'll make sure I love that woman. I said, right, because you don't want to curse on your children. He said, I don't, Daddy. Okay. He said, but I'm all right. I'm all right, Dad, because I thank the Lord that you raised me up. Because the Lord told me one morning, I was studying. He said, John, I want to raise your kids. I got a plan for their life. I want you to teach them. Don't leave it up just to the pastor, but you teach them. So we have Bible devotion every morning. Those folks know the Ten Commandments, and they can spit what they mean. They know, they know that stuff inside out. They can teach anything you want them to teach. They don't need to prepare, because I've been teaching them the Word of God ever since they've been 5 and 6 and 7. They keep what you discover confidential. Guidelines for dealing with demons now. Continue to minister to the individual after the demons have left. Do not be discouraged by an apparent failure. Do not be distracted by extreme fatigue while dealing with demons. Sometimes you may be there all day, all night. You know, there are many times I go to Brother Emmett, and I'd be saying to myself, I ain't know this thing gonna have this long. No, I thought you just say, come out. Man, I've been here about 2-3 hours. I'd be griping inside, you know, that kind of thing. But I swallow this stuff and just keep on going. I said, next time you call me, but now I ain't going, you know, I'm gonna take a supplement. You know. But I always go in every time he called me because he need me to pray in tongues because that's the Holy Spirit praying through me when I go, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit using my vocal cords. See? And so that demon know that's the Holy Spirit praying. So when he said, come out in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I ain't coming nowhere. You see why? And I begin to go, and the demon going, shut up, you with that prayer, shut up. And I want to say, make me sucker, but I would say, you don't talk back bad at a demon like that. And demon attack you. I just, you know, so do not be distracted by extreme fatigue while dealing with demons. Be ready to stay for an extended period of time. It could be 2 or 3 more hours. Remember your weapons. The weapons is the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus of Nazareth in the blood of the Lamb. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb. Don't you tell me, I rebuke you in my, one dude said, in the name of my church, I rebuke you. I come out in the name of you, in the name of my church, Mount Zion, so on. And I have 3 degrees. In the name of my degree, come out. And the demon said, one more word from you, sucker, you're mine. I say it, I come out. And then that demon and that person would walk up to that man or that woman and rip the clothes completely off, butt naked, beat the daylights out of them. Guidelines for dealing with demons: be on guard yourself for several days after you have been in the session. Go, he mad at you now? God, dog, I had that woman doing everything I want to do. I had drinking, cheating on her husband, had her doing this and that. And here he come, tell me come out now, and I cast me out. I'm mad at him. I'm gonna get him. So be on guard yourself for 7 days after you have been and say, just pray, you know, get up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you. I thank you for your covering, you know, because you're my God. I got the Holy Spirit, and you've got each one of us assigned and an angel to protect us. So just walk in faith. Watch for distractions and keep in mind that demons are afraid of Christians who walk with Jesus. And, you know, I've just been in this delivery just a little while, and I can see the difference. Like, I see a lot of deacons, a lot of pastors, a lot of chaplains who go to these things sometimes want to experience everything else. And the demon says, shut up, you ain't got nothing to say to me. And he's been to many churches, and I'd be listening on the phone, be connected, and I can hear the minister say, come out in the name, I am doctor. Now, mind you, he just came down the aisle riding on a donkey with a robe and got about 50 pallbearers. Pallbearers? He got 20-something, 30-something, 200 armor bearers on each side. And he'd ride down the middle of the thing. I said, Lord, he said, John, I know you can't see it, but guess what? This dude riding down here on a donkey, you know? I said, Lord, have mercy. He said, what, man? And then he'd get off the pony, off the horse, and 14 or 1,200 people just listen. Hey, praise our pastor. Praise our pastor. Praise him. And then he said, John, you better say something. So I said, can you hear me? He said, yeah, you get you on last week. I said, hey, y'all. Shut up! And everybody said, I said, did you hear me? He said, yeah. Listen here, man, the guy, he's gonna blow his ministry. That demon going to tear him apart. He ain't no righteous minister. God already told us he in adultery affair. He's in a homosexual affair and everything else. And he's going to show up. Because he's the first one in that part of the town going to cast out demons. And then I said, choir, you can hear the choir. I said, shut up! And the choir would be going, huh? Who's that? That's Brother John. And he go, praise the pastor, praise our pastor, praise our pastor. We're going to burn John out. And they have a picture of me, a drawing picture, and they put it up on the wall and put it upside down. And I said, brother, them demon spirits, they got your picture upside down on the wall again. I said, Lord, have mercy. And he ain't nothing. And then I said, let me speak to the pastor. Yes, are you jealous, huh? I'm going to cast out a demon. I have no demonology. I got a doctor's degree. I said, sir, you don't want to do that? You're going to get hurt. No, you don't do that. Shut up, nigga. I've got a doctor. Okay, what kind of degree you got? I said, I got 2 master's degrees, one in human resources and one in theology. That's not good. I'm heavier than you. I said, okay. And the demon said, be quiet. Let him go. Come out, name of Jesus. That demon said, say one more thing to me. You're behind his mind. I said, come on, I'm Dr. So-and-so. Rip his clothes come off and everything. And then he had a pole coming down the aisle. They said, everybody screaming. John climbed down and said, everybody, be still. Be quiet. I said, that demon ain't after you. That demon is after that man. He's not after you. And then the doors, bam, 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 all the doors started shutting automatically by itself. I said, uh-oh. And here he comes. Don't even wreck. I said, sir, you don't want to do that. What's the matter? You jealous? Huh? I'm Dr. Stone. I got 3 degrees. I'm higher than you. And then they have some little white girl come down there and not knowing that the white girl was staging there by the Satanist. And then he thinks, hey, you can do it. White Satanist just wanted to mess up his ministry. So he said, I'm going to do what you mean. He's jealous. So the white girl come down there growling and everything else. No, not growling. Yeah, she's sitting there looking at him. You're going to come out. I am Dr. Song, kind of a thing. And I go, oh, God. I say, sir, shut up, John. You can hear me speaking through the mic, you know, kind of thing. Shut up. You're just jealous. Just watch. Come out in the name of Jesus. And then step the girl say, yes, sir. Oh, what you mean, sir? The girl opened her mouth and say, who the hell are you that you talking to? I am blah, blah, blah. Tell him his name. And you part of me. What you mean I'm part of you? You love this screw, boys. You got my spirit in you, boy. I said, come out. And then, whoop. And the devil rip off all the pastor's clothes, and he's up in the top of the ceiling, butt naked in front of 1,200 people. And I said, Brother John, you see what I see? I said, I can't see. I'm way over here. He said, but I'm looking at it. That demon, so we have to go through that. Don't have no pride. You can't, if you want to get in this ministry, you can't even lie, y'all. Y'all can't even lie because that demon, that lying demon said, you can't cast me out. You got one of my brothers in you. What you mean, one of my brothers? You got my brother, liar. He's a lying spirit. That's why you're lying. You can't tell the truth. You're lying. That kind of a thing. So I don't even have a size idea of what the hell I'm talking about. Okay, I think I'm going to say this and then I'm going to stop. You, the different kind of minds, folks, that you have, one is called the unconverted mind. And the only way to experience victory is to renew your mind with the wisdom of Christ. The person not converted, not converted. You need to be converted. Otherwise, he's still going to be like his own mind. Then you got the polluted mind. You cannot feed your mind with filth and the speck of clean life. If you're reading them dirty books and reading all kind of trash, then your mind is trashy. Then there's called the doubtful mind. The Lord does not appreciate when what? His children do not believe him. I don't believe that. Looking at the word of God, I don't believe that. I believe this, but I don't believe that. That's a doubtful mind. And you open yourself up for demonic possession. Then not only the doubtful mind, but you have what you call heretical mind. There will always be minor differences of interpretation of various passages of Scripture. Remember that. However, there is a clear demarcation between respectful disagreement and heretical doctrine. And you're going to always have folks who are heretical, got heresy. Heresy, which means destructive. They'll tell you all kind of crap, and you're supposed to follow them. Then you got the naive mind. Those are Christians who are just plain gullible. When someone appears spiritual, puts on a spiritual, on a mystical act, and pretends he is listening to God, some innocent Christian begins to believe him. Wait a minute. I hear God. Hold God speaking to me. God speaking to me. Hold it. God, what are we doing right now? That kind of thing. And now you mean the passive mind. And then you got the natural mind. The natural man, a person, does not what? Accept the things of the spirit because he's unintelligent. I have 3-fold doctorate degrees. And I can figure things out myself. Okay, my phone telling me I got about 10 more minutes. So let me close with this. The natural man does not accept the things of the spirit because he cannot see them. He believes only what he can see. He don't believe it. Okay. So God don't want us to walk into our flesh and mind. He wants us to walk in our spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will tell us what to say, what to do, and everything else like that. Do I want to close out with something? I don't think. Now, when somebody comes to see you, you need to know how you can discern whether that person is possessed with a demon. First of all, you got to pray for it, okay? And you got to read and recognize the symptoms And you can be sure to be slow in making judgment because the person might just be mentally off kind of a thing, not necessarily a demon possession kind of thing or oppression. The person just can be kind of stupid. Do not deal with the situation. You always have another person with you. But for God's sake, be sure that that person with you is just as holy as you are. Because, man, if you got somebody in there, so-and-so, come here. I'm demon that church. I got a young lady coming at the basement of the church, and I'm going to cast this. Okay, let me tell you something. If that person ain't right, that demon will tear that person and you apart. Because you're supposed to be discerning whether your buddy, your friend, is righteous. He's in the same boat with you. Because if you got some, I even just lying, and then you got your buddy, because you always got to do it in two pairs, and then he come over there, and that dude is cheating on his wife or cheating on whatever, or stealing money out of the church, that demon tear both of y'all apart. That demon warned you first, say, you don't have nothing to say to me. I said, come out, sister, so-and-so, in the name of Jesus. Wham! And that demon could throw y'all out the window, strip all your clothes off and everything else. That is one ministry I have learned, that you can't even be a liar if you meant to be effective. You will have to be for real. And before you go in there, just in case, like me, in case I said something or thought something that was wrong, but I want to get even that dude called me a nigga or whatever, so-and-so. Man, I got to, before I go in that room with Brother Emmett, I said, Lord, is there any, I tell you what, Lord, forgive me of all the sins that I've committed, knowingly and unknowingly. That's what I do. That's how I tell myself. I'm washed, see? So when I walk in that room, that demon scanning me, then the demon can't mess with me, see? The demon has to be obedient to my instructions. But if that demon say, I know what you're doing, you can't, you say, especially when you say, you say one more thing to me, yours is mine. He just warned you, because if you do, he'll rip you apart, okay? And whoever come to you for counseling, keep it confidential. And like I said, be ready to stay an extended period of time and remember your weapons. But I suggest you just read all you can on spiritual warfare. God loves you, and he don't want you to get hurt. And like I say, I've been studying. And he said, you think you're ready, John? I go, nope. I'm learning, man, because what I've been sharing with y'all is what I've been, man, I've been reading 10, 12 books on spiritual warfare. And that's what I'm doing. If he called me now, if he had to go to a house with some girl or some guy is hanging from the ceiling, crawling around the floor and barking like a dog and stuff like that, I would just pray in tongues. I don't say come out in the name of Jesus, because I'm still trying to get myself completely qualified to do it, because I don't want to get hurt, you know, that kind of thing. So I just go and I'd be shut up. Me telling me, I'd be praying in tongues. I'd be praying the Holy Spirit. See, because that weakened them. See, that kind of a thing. Well, God bless you. And I had something what I want to talk about next time. I had several topics that I want to talk about, but I can't remember what they are right now. But God bless you, and hope you're well and everything else. This is Brother John checking out. God bless you, and goodbye.